I think we're all right with sound, but we'll pray and give Everett time. We're giving you time, Everett. So anyway, Father, we thank you for each one here. We thank you for the fact that we are part of your family, and we're in the same family, and we belong to one another. Thank you for that we don't have to go through our life alone. But we also thank you that we can go with you as the first and foremost thing. So we pray that we might be a people that follow your guide and your will, do your will, and that as we journey through, that we really will be pleasing to you the whole trip. And may this just be one more help as we look at your word in various places to take the steps that you long for us to take where we're at in our journey. So we pray and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I was thinking of the time, and I know I've shared this before, but there was this one patch of it was a pasture. It was like it was a rock area, and we farmed around it. There was one place that we farmed, but in this particular place, we never really farmed it because it was so much rock. But in that, there had been a prairie dog town, and after that, the rattlesnakes took over. So rattlesnakes follow prairie dogs because they love all the architectural work the prairie dogs do for them. So anyway, so there's all these little holes. But I remember there were several times that I had to walk from one field to go back and get my pickup at another field and then bring it back because there wasn't anybody else to drive. And so you were doing your own walking back and forth. But I remember when I would walk through that rocky hillside, I was always very, very attentive. I was attentive to sounds like little rattles. and also, if you would see a hole, if you saw it, sometimes you couldn't see it, but if you saw it, you would be very careful as you go around, because a rattlesnake, at least in that part of the country, I know there are different kinds of rattlers, but they would love in the heat of the day to curl up in the shade. And so they'd go down these little holes and they'd curl up, and that was where they were having a little siesta. You did not want to wake them up. So I remember going through there and really paying a lot of attention. When we're going through life, there's rattlesnakes in the areas we travel. Obviously not necessarily the curled up kind with a little rattler tail, but there are dangerous things as we go along. If we were going to caption what we're really trying to work on in our study, both with our DVD series and with this portion, we're really trying to say, how can we walk wisely? How can we really walk wisely in the world that is getting more and more, really, we could just say wicked, just downright wicked. And so we're trying to walk wisely. But I think in walking wisely, we have to know some of the danger. We have to, it's important to know what the right thing to do. We absolutely have to know that. But we also have to know what are some of the danger things, situations that can get us into a lot of trouble very, very quickly. And so that's why we come back to this whole area of dealing with the fool. We can walk wisely or we can walk foolishly. Even Christians can walk foolishly or at least make foolish steps. And so we want to be careful. Now, as you look at that handout, Ross, thank you for handing that out. I just want to highlight this, a few things, and then we're going to go into our notes. The making of a fool. Now, that's the very caption at the top. And then you'll notice in chapter 1, verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now, those three categories are really the categories that are outlined, that come up again and again in Proverbs. the simple, the scorner, and the fool. And you'll see those three headings across. And I thought this was helpful. The simple, as you notice, is the budding fool. The budding fool. The beginning, the fool at the front end of his life. And then we have the fool, the kind of the general fool, the common fool. And then we have the full-blown fool, or the scorner, the mocker, as we have called him. Now, I just want to, we've already dealt with this in some measure. We've laid this out. But I thought this was a helpful outline, and I honestly cannot remember the author of this. And I put that at the bottom of this. But I thought it was a very helpful just overview. If you notice under the simple, he is vulnerable, and then in the middle of that, not having developed a discriminating judgment as to what is right or wrong. And that makes him gullible, makes him naive. Now, part of the reason he is there is because of choices he has made not to discern, not to learn truth that brings discernment. But so the front end. The fool, the common fool, is kind of like going from grade school to high school, that fool. It's not dullness, and we've said this before, and I think this is clear. It's not a lack of mental capacity that makes a... And when we use the word fool, we're not trying to be degrading to people. We're just trying to understand the scriptural statements of where people are at. This person may be very, very intelligent, but they have advanced beyond the first category to this category basically by an unwillingness to gain truth. It's not a mental capacity issue. It's an issue of the will. It's a resistance of the will to truth. And we're going to talk about that person. And you'll notice the very first one is self-confident. Now, I want to go to my notes, and then we'll come back to some of this in just a little bit. But we talked about the simple person, and we've already given some description of this individual. I thought of this, and by God's grace, may God protect our young people and protect us as well. But so many people make such tragic decisions when they're young. That just, the consequences go on forever. I know I've said that, but so many people, don't even realize they need to think about life carefully and make choices, because choices have consequences. And I've said this on a variety of occasions. You can make your choice, but you cannot often control your consequence. You know, people think, well, I'll just do what I want to do. Okay, you can choose what you want to do, but often the consequences are beyond control. And so the simple person, and may we pray for our kids and our grandkids and our chapel kids, our young people, that they not be simple, that they not stay in naivety. We all start foolish. We all do. I mean, you're born in sin, and so we start foolish as little ones before we so it's easy to, but we don't want to get stuck there. We don't want to get stuck there. So a few of the things that I've said about this simple is. They easily buy into anything because they really don't have convictions about much of anything. They're easily swayed, very naive. And I'm sure you remember some young people in school that you were with, and that's where they were. They just went with the crowd. I was telling somebody, I don't think I shared this, but it's always made me so sad. There was a young guy who was in high school with me, and he was a nice enough guy. He wasn't a Christian, didn't come from a Christian home, but he's a nice guy. And came from a farm, and I'm sure he's a hard worker, all that. Nice looking kid. But I remember when we went off, he went to one university, I went to another. But then, midstream, in about a year and a half, I came back to where he was going to university. Now, I happened to be in the dorm where he was at. I just happened to end up on the same dorm and the same floor that he was on. And what what caught my attention, again, still a nice enough kid, but he was so easily influenced by the other young guys on that dorm floor that he, whatever they wanted to do, he'd do. And what they wanted to do was go drinking all the time. I mean, that was their lifestyle. And I thought it was so sad. At the end of that semester or that year, he flunked out of university. Well, why did he flunk out? Because he's dumb? No. But because he just was so naive. He just followed the crowd. And some of those other guys, I don't know if they all flunked out or not, but he flunked out. And largely because he's just a partier. But more than that, he was very naive about his choices in life. And I thought, here, he wasted all this money. He wasted his education. And he really fit in that first category. He wasn't a malicious kind of kid, but he was a very naive person. And may God protect those we love and protect ourselves from this as well. Now, we talked about that. The fool has other characteristics because he's more hardened. He's more calloused. We already said this, but they despise wisdom and instruction. That's in Proverbs 1:7. We've already taught the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom. Again, it is not an issue of the intellect, it's an issue of the will. They ridicule. They're right in their own eyes. Proverbs 12:15. We already talked about this. They're right in their own eyes. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. It's very hard to tell a fool anything. And if you're around a fool very much, you realize, no matter what you say, they're not paying attention. If that's not what they want to hear, they're not going to listen. And they're right in their own eyes. And it's a tragic thing. It's a tragic thing. And they mock at sin. Proverbs 14:9, fools mock at sin. Like, just think of things that they get into that they think, well, you know, I just think how many. I was thinking about this the other day. People who have got into drugs. You know, a lot of times it's early on, young kids, you know, a lot of times people that start into drugs, they think, well, that happened to the other, you know, the negative consequence happened to the other person, but it won't happen to me, right? And then you think of these dear people, you know, who have got into drugs and now their life is destroyed. It's just absolutely destroyed because they mocked at sin. They mocked at it, like, you know, you're just being religious nut not to do this drug, right? Why don't you have a little fun? Why don't you relax, back off, don't get uptight, you know? And so many people have been foolish, and then their lives are just forever chaotic. Now, we talked about this, and this again, I just want to highlight this. This goes to a category. They are self confident. Now let's go to Proverbs 14:16. They are self-confident. Now, there's a balance between having a realm of confidence when in a realm that you, let's say in your work or an ability you have, but this person is confident in themselves instead of in the Lord. Proverbs 14:6, and I'm going to read in this particular out of the New Living Translation. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Now just like, you know, thinking if I'm going through that hill where there are all those rocks and where those rattlesnakes are, I've got to be very cautious, right? And when you can, you go around, right? You go around. You stay away from. But the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with great confidence. Isn't that interesting? They plunge ahead like diving in the deep end and you don't know how to swim. They plunge in with great, they're overconfident. And as I just said, confident in himself instead of in the Lord. Our confidence, our trust needs to be in the Lord. And we're not to be, again, if I'm overconfident, then I'll do things, dangerous things maybe, because I'm confident in the wrong place. You know, and God has not called us to be silly, but to not be overconfident in ourselves. We're all weak and fragile. This is another characteristic of the fool. They trust in their own judgment, even when it is in conflict with God's word. They trust in their own judgment, even when it is in conflict with God's word. Now again, I read the New Living Translation in Proverbs 28:26. And again, most of these things are drawn out of the book on wisdom, Proverbs. Proverbs 28:26. Trusting oneself is foolish, but those who walk in wisdom are safe. Trusting oneself is foolish, but those who walk in wisdom are safe. So, again, our whole culture is here, isn't it? You know, we think of marriage, or we think of abortion, we think of homosexuality, we think of all these things. The culture says, that is so in the past. That is not relevant today. And so our culture has thrown it all aside, wise in our own eyes, confident in ourselves that we're smarter than God. They trust in their own judgment, even when it's in direct conflict with God's word. Now, that's the fool. Now, again, it's kind of like we've gone from grade school to high school, and now we're off to university. This is the mocker, okay? The mocker. And the mocker, as William MacDonald said, will treat wise counsel with contempt. The simple, when he moves to the foolish, becomes more hardened. But when he moves, if he continues on that continuum to a mocker, he is a hardened fool. He is set. You know, we say set in your ways. He is set. The mocker then holds others in contempt. Now, let's go to Proverbs 1:22. Proverbs 1:22. We read these words. How long, O naive ones? Now that's our first category. Will you love being simple-minded? Okay, so that's our first category, the simple. This is our last category, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing. They delight themselves in scoffing. One puts it this way. They delight in a cynical, scornful, mocking attitude towards spiritual things. Now, all we'd have to do is have a TV here and watch a comedian, an anti-Christian comedian, right? Just mocking. Or a newscaster who obviously is anti-Christian, or some kind of a professor who's the qualified expert on something, who hates God, and we see them mocking. And they'll do it, obviously, they'll do it like from a, quote, professional standpoint, right? But it's a mockery of truth. And so in our culture, we're surrounded by this, a delight in mocking truth, in mocking God, in mocking principles that are Christian. Now, another category here is they do not listen to rebuke. Now, of course, that fits here. They do not listen to rebuke. Now, I'm going to read Proverbs 13:1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline. Now, that does a father, brings joy to the heart of a father when they do that, right? But a scorner does not listen to rebuke. Boy, remember when your kids were at a point where, man, they were just so set and so stubborn at a point, right? And you just, oh man, tears your heart out, but also driving you bananas. But if a person goes and moves into adulthood and has that same spirit, they are in big trouble, and they're also going to bring a lot of grief to those around them. They do not listen to rebuke. Now here's another principle, or another passage, Proverbs 15:12. We read these words. Proverbs 15:12. A scorner, and this is again that third category of fool, a scorner does not love one who reproves him. He will not go to the wise. Isn't it interesting? You know, if he knows you are going to even get close to telling him something, he's not knocking on your door. He's not calling you on your phone. He doesn't want to hear what you have to say. And so does not want to listen. Does not want to listen. This is obviously it's a big issue. I can't remember where it was. I know this was a true story, but a young man lost his hearing. Basically lost almost all his hearing, and his dad had said, son, you gotta quit listening to your Walkman so loud. I mean, I can hear, you know when you drive up and you're, let's say you're going to park in some parking lot and another car drives up beside you and bam bam, the whole thing is just vibrating, right? And you think, where's that? And then you realize, can that guy even hear, you know? Anyway, but this young man lost his hearing because he would not listen to the advice of his father. He said, son, it's too loud, it's too loud. And, you know, obviously, there's many examples like that will not listen to rebuke. And coming with that, I think this is no surprise, but they are proud. Let's go to Proverbs 21:24. Proud. Now, this seems to be a dominant characteristic in our times as well. But notice what it says in Proverbs 21:24. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. Okay? So this is the category. Proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. And as one commentator says, mocking shows that a person thinks he is superior to others. He is proud. And this is an interesting, the Proverbs 16:5, and I'll just read that. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not go unpunished. Now, it may not be immediately, but the day will come. So, the scoffer, obviously, if you feel so superior to other people that you can mock them, pride is a major player in your attitude. And, you know, pride, isn't it an amazing statement? Pride goes before the fall. Pride goes before the fall. You may not fall immediately, but pride precedes a fall. And so this person who is so bent on feeling better than everybody else, is in for a terrible end. But he is a scoffer. Now, this is another category. They cause contention and strife. Now, I think that's pretty easy to understand, but I want to read a verse. It says Proverbs 22:10. This is the scoffer. The scoffer who is proud and mocks. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out this is going to be a person pretty hard to get along with, right? It's going to be a person really hard to work with because they already believe they're superior to you and they're going to treat you in an inferior manner. That's one thing. But notice it says in Proverbs 22:10, drive out the scoffer, contention will go out, even strife and dishonor will cease. Isn't that interesting? Drive out the, you know, some, when we minister to people, we want to do everything we can to reach out to them, help them, nudge them, encourage them. But there comes a point, if a person is a full-fledged mocker, sometimes we have to be very tough. Now, this is where tough love comes in. And I've said this to people in the past. When we're ministering to people, we try to minister to individuals, we try to reach out to people. I know this has to happen at Hope Valley as well. You reach out to a little kid, but if that individual or that child is going to mess it up for everybody else, I mean, if they're going to hurt the whole group at Hope Valley, or if it's going to divide the chapel, or if it's going to kill, you know, hurt a lot of other people in that attitude, you got to be tough with that person. You reach out to them, you try to love them, you try to care for them, you try to do everything you can. But there comes a point, if they absolutely dig in their heels and they refuse any adjustment in their attitude or their action, in this scoffer, you may have to deal with it in a very tough way. To protect the body, to protect the group, to protect the camp, whatever it is. Because they are contentious. Drive out a scoffer, contention will go out. Isn't that interesting? Even strife and dishonor will cease. I just find, and nobody wants to do that. That's painful, hard, and it's not fun. But I have, you know, I remember a situation, and I'll not give details, but a situation where this man was in a church, and he was just ripping this church apart. He was just decimating. Every week was a new explosion. And one of the elders was having heart problems as a result of this guy. And finally, I wasn't involved in it. I wasn't even close to it. I just found out about it afterwards. But finally, somebody went to this guy and said, "You are going to cause this person to have a heart attack if you keep this up." And finally, they said, "Get out of here," right? This individual said to this other person. And he finally left, but this guy was creating so much havoc and pain. But that guy, the guy that was causing all this pain, fits his category. He was a scoffer, causing division and contention and heartbreak. And so there are sometimes people will not respond to rebuke or to challenge or admonition. And those are some of the hardest times. But may God give us the courage in leadership, not ever to be mean, but to be tough when it needs to be tough. Not to be mean, but to care for the flock. That's part of being a shepherd, part of being a person who loves people. Sometimes it's a tough love. Okay. Let's just talk about this, these different categories. And kind of a summarization. Proverbs 3:11. Have you ever been? I remember one time as a young person, this is the first time my dad ever let me have the car to take a group somewhere. I thought that was a big deal. I was in high school, and dad let me have the car. He trusted me more than I think he should have. But anyway, I took this group of kids, and we were going to a youth retreat, and it was quite a ways from home. Maybe 4 or 5 hours away from home. So I was on roads I'd never been on, and I was just a young upstart. And I remember I turned on this, what was a turnpike kind of thing, and I was going the wrong way. I didn't know I was going the wrong way at first, but as we were going along, I realized I'm going the wrong way. And I got all these kids in this car, you know. Humility is a very hard thing to find when you've got a whole group of young people, right? But I remember, how can I turn this thing around? How can I turn this thing around? And I don't know, I had to drive a long time before I found a place you could turn off to get back around. I thought, man, it was a long ways. It was so humbling. I didn't mention too much of what happened. But anyway, there are people going down the road of foolishness. And by God's grace, hopefully, they'll turn off and get turned around. And so let's just think about this for just a moment. Proverbs 3:11, the version I'm reading, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke." Now, the Lord is so gracious to us. I'm sure we could all share our times. I know I was being disciplined by the Lord. We're not going to have testimonials, but God, in his love for us, has disciplined each one of us at a certain point in time. Now, we don't always identify it. We don't always realize this is really what's happening. We just want to be sensitive to what he's doing. But God, out of his love, disciplines us. And I can think of some specific times in my life where I knew I was being disciplined. But it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke." There might be a time or times, and probably will be times, when we veer off course and God will tap us on the shoulder. Sometimes he taps us on the shoulder by using another believer, by somebody else who loves us, cares about us, understands the situation, talks to us about the situation. Do not reject God's discipline. I think this gets harder as we get older, don't you think? You know, you're going along. You know, we kind of think, well, I'm further along, right? But sometimes God still said, hey, wait. You have not arrived, right? And he taps us on the shoulder. We need to be teachable, even as we proceed and we're further down the road. One must not resent the Lord's discipline, but repent of one's sin and foolishness, even if reproof comes through another human being. Let me just read, and we'll conclude with this. Proverbs 10:17. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. As we go through life, as we, however far we are from our end, we're not trying to rush it, but as we get older, it seems to me we still have the danger of making foolish choices. Remember, I was trying to think, R.C. Chapman, and he and his friend, and I can't remember his friend's name, they were both single men, and they ministered together. They're really, really godly guys, and they were in their senior days, and they were walking across kind of a muddy, slick area, and they were just about to their destination, and the friend of R.C. Chapman said to him, he said, "Well, we made it." And R.C. Chapman said, "Not until we're at the destination." And his point was obviously not just in getting through a slick spot, but getting through the slick spots in our spiritual life. May we be careful that we walk wisely until the end. And we can all give illustrations of people we know who have loved the Lord, but they didn't quite make it those last three steps. They didn't make it very well. May God help us make it all the way. Make it all the way. Be wise till the finish. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you will protect us. Help us be wise. It is like walking through rattlesnake peak sometimes as we're going along. And sometimes it's obvious, but sometimes it's subtle. And so our prayer for ourselves is that we'll not be foolish. Our prayer is that we'll walk wisely. And Father, we pray that first for ourselves, but then we also pray that for our assembly. We pray that for everyone in our family here. Just help us, God. Just help us be wise. Help us be wise in our choices. Help us be wise in our ministries. Help us be wise in our attitudes. Help us be wise in our relationships. Protect us from foolishness. We need you to protect us for the whole journey, and that's what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.